Well, the first time we met him was, I remember the first time I met him was in that study, every Saturday study group we used to have, where we would watch a film and discuss at the old building at Howard.
At Howard, yeah.
Yeah. So he came, I don't know how he came, how he knew about it, I don't know. But he came anyway. And it was, intellectually, he was, you know, he was contributing very, very well and good, talking to faculty there and students. He was knowledgeable about, you know, these film and social change. He came, I think, from Berlin, mm-hmm. Germany. Mm-hmm. He came from Berlin or something like that. And he had, at one point also, he had showed us, I don't know when I saw his film, but I've seen his film. And basically, that's the beginning one I would like to point out quickly. It was through intellectual intersection that I met him.
So the event on Saturdays was a time for watching movies that were produced from around the world.
Yeah.
We would watch some
Latin
from South
American
Africa,
films, yeah.
Latin America, students and professors and community people. It was just an opportunity to kind of learn films, indulge in films, filmmaking, film language, for expressing ideas, how filmmakers around the world were attacking this thing of cinema as a way of expressing themselves. And so it was quite enlightening. I was a student.
Yeah.
I had just come to Howard.
It was a critical discussion.
Critical discussion, and then we would rotate who would be presenting the next, you know, presenting the films. You know, so there was some research involved, too, to make sure that you could present the films.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that's when I met Skip, too. And he was a teacher at Howard University at the time.
No, he was not. He just came by, like, from the community, as a community person.
Really?
Yeah.
He wasn't teaching when he first started there?
No. I think he started teaching when we started shooting the Wilmington tent. Then he was teaching cinematography.
Okay, so yeah. He just came on. After that, he
just came off the street that, you know, one Saturday. He was, and we met him, and it was, you know, he was very, you know, enthusiastic, very passionate. And then the after that, it's really, you know, teaching at Howard. I don't know if it was on a temporary basis initially or whatever.
As a lecturer.
Yeah, he was teaching. And then then the next thing is when we went to do the film, The Wilmington Tent, he was the cinematographer.
Mm-hmm. And that was a cooperation again between students, professors, and community.
Mm-hmm.
To produce a documentary about political prisoners, specifically in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the cinematographer. He was the first person that I think I was able to look through his camera on that set.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a certain feeling of power, or the power of a frame and being able to control that frame. That was pretty amazing in a motion picture camera. I did it in stills, but having that sensation and a motion picture film camera was really something else for me. And I think that whole production was an amazing exchange of knowledge and experience, character, integrity, etc., for everybody that was involved.
Well, what I learned during the Wilmington 10, you know, one, I don't know if I saw the film he did in Germany or Europe on the, you know, the, I think Bobby Seale and something on the Black Panther Party. It was very distant. And I remember seeing a film, or he had told me about it, or he showed it to us. I don't remember clearly. But I know when I asked him to do the, you know, cinematography part of the Wilmington 10, it was out of his still photography work that I saw impressively. I found impressive that I knew He could, you know, he would be the one to shoot the film. But at the same time also, how he was very friendly to students. I liked that part also. Right. He was not pulling rank on students. He was a friend of students. He was very close to students. Which
invested. He was very invested in our development.
Yeah. And he was also very sensitive. If you remember when we were filming Miss Wright, in the middle of the shoot, he started crying and left the camera. And I said, dang.
Because he was so moved by the way she talked about the incarceration of her son. Go ahead with what you were saying.
Yeah, I was saying, you know, how I think he's, you know, I'm not sure I know, but I know he's been away, and so those the mothers and the fathers in the Wilmington 10 really got to him, you know, because I was very initially I got mad, and I had to talk to him when he, you know, left the camera crying. But then I knew how. I didn't consider later on I just said, damn, it's because these are his folks. And he was maybe flashbacking. I didn't know. He didn't share with me, but I gathered, I think it was you or somebody jumped and continued shooting the camera.
It wasn't me.
Who was it? It's not
maybe
Leila.
Ellen?
It's not Leila.
No.
It's not Ellen. Pam was not in that shoot. So I don't know, but somebody jumped and started, you know, continuing. Or maybe I did, I don't know. Somebody behind the camera. But anyway, I learned a lot about how sensitive he was, very sensitive. He was really sensitive. And even in that, I felt he really helped a lot of people on still photography and photography. He helped a lot of, you know, the students really get deeper and deeper into the discussion of cinematography. You know, many, many moments, many occasions, I would see him, you know, before we were shooting, still explaining something to the young people, you know. So I knew he was how anxious he was to share. He's very, very anxious to share.
Right, he was.
Yeah. And it's also unfortunate that he didn't continue at Howard, because I thought he was really a good cinematography teacher, and also a variety. He gave the school a variety, in my view, in the world of cinematography. And I was really trying to find some of his students that I know could speak more about this, because I've never sat in his classrooms. Have you?
No, I experienced him outside the classroom just as a teacher, a person who could, you know, who shared knowledge and information and skill, but not as a in-the-class teacher.
But I thought you had some relationship with him in terms of still photography.
Mm-mm.
No?
I had another still photography teacher, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, I think, and also, I don't know if you were in the building, you know, he came by before he passed, but he looked good. He was okay. It was very shock for me.
Yeah, he came to a community session. Remember, student session.
No, also he came to the editing room one day and sat down in my editing room and talked to me.
Oh, I was talking about Howard.
Huh?
You told me he came by our building.
Our building. Later on, after he went to Turkey, or he went to
Cyprus.
After he went to Cyprus. He kept coming, you know, visiting us anytime, every time he came to his family. And then I know at one point he has introduced me to his sister, but he kept coming to Sankofa, and he was into those organic sandwiches. Yeah, and then there's the other part I forgot. He was the first headache, you know, for me on vegetarianism. He was so obsessed about anti the carnivorous planet. He was so, throughout any moment we had when we were traveling to shoot the film in North Carolina, I'm always just upset with him because he's attacking the very food I liked, meat. But he was always drinking. You remember, he was always drinking this carrot and something juice, and always talking. Any chance he gets on vegetarianism and health, he was like, he gets off. And it was very, for me, it was surprised that he had cancer.
Yeah,
because he was the most careful. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even know if he did he drink.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah,
I never saw him drinking.
Yeah, so for me, he was a nice human being, and I think when he left Howard, I think lost a lot. Because to me, it was the whole idea of the diversity or the variety he brought to the students, you know, his style, boundaryless relationship with students, all that, it was a very important asset he was bringing to the university that I felt they lost when he was let go, or when he left. I don't know. I can't remember the last part, but I know it was not much effort done to keep him in the way they should have kept, the way we do with many people. Mm-hmm. You know, he should have been really offered more opportunity to stay and to teach. But
we lost out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that he came. I think he influenced a generation of young black students there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And community people who, you know, people who are not even involved or enrolled in Howard. I'm glad that we had the benefit of knowing Skip, because that was really, I know I benefited, and I know you did. And I think I speak for so many people that, you know, are better people because he came through.
He was a very intellectual friend.
And
intellectual,
kid.
Yeah.
And curious, and he didn't have these superficial boundaries about knowledge and what was important to know. He was curious about everything. So that was a pleasure. And I'm glad that this tribute is being done because, you know, like you said, if he was at Howard, you know, we would, I don't know if we'd have had the chance to thank him the way that he deserves to be thanked. And that's why I'm glad somewhere in the world people are taking time out to make sure that he gets the proper thank you for his efforts. So that's why I'm happy to do this conversation with you, Haile, and hope that it contributes something to this picture.
Yeah, you're right.